Well, hey, welcome to the first ever Thoughts We Might Have Had podcast, a whole new feature, new ways to enjoy the website with me, my very good friend Jack Gregory.
Hello,
Jack.
I'm so glad to be back. It's been too long since we've done this.
It's true. It's true. Me and Jack had it was like a podcast before podcasts were podcasts.
Right. It was on Facebook, so we could call it a Facecast, I suppose.
Right. We could call it a Facecast, which is a great name. It sounds like we're hitting someone in the face with a fishing line, which is always fun.
Yeah, it's true.
But it was really cool, and I enjoyed it thoroughly, but only like 30 people watched it because like only your friends could see it, and it was very restricting. It was very restricting to our style. And as we all know, art is best when unrestricted.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now we're going to do a podcast, and I don't have to wear pants while we're recording it, so it is completely unrestricted.
Dang.
No one will ever know what's going on. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Right. We're going to talk about sort of whatever, you know, kind of news, some movie stuff, some video game stuff. Jack actually has his own video game blogging sort of-ish site.
Yes, AltF4Gamers. WordPress.com.
There you go. So you can, we'll actually stick a link to his blog from the thoughtswemighthavehad.com blog, which is where this podcast thing is being launched from. But yeah, so we're going to talk about just sort of whatever's going on, you know, just a nice slice of our life,
like
pie.
Yes, pie is an excellent metaphor for pretty much everything.
Exactly. So that's what this is, a nice cherry-flavored slice of life pie. Just for all of you out there who are fans of the blog or who aren't fans of the blog but are fans of humor and life being funny. Because that's what me and Jack believe.
Right. Life is supposed to be funny, and when life stops being funny, it stops being life.
Exactly. The world is a funny place, and I feel like we need to appreciate that more. And that's what this podcast is all about.
Absolutely.
So take us with you as you ride in your car or as you do some of that weird exercising stuff that people keep telling me I should do.
Right, aerobics.
You know, and just enjoy life more by listening to this podcast. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Enjoying life more. That's what we're here for. So, that said, mission statement out of the way. Let's just jump right in. And I want to start today with a conversation about last year.
Okay.
Because last year, as we all know, was 2012. And the world was scheduled to end. Like, we had it written in our calendars.
Right.
Like, this date, the world will end. Like, it was a big thing, especially in 2011.
Right.
Once 2012 hit, we all kind of shut up about it. But in 2011, it was a big thing. Like, there was a John Cusack movie, and it was horrendous.
And the world was about to really just break down. Was the entire universe going to break down, or was it just the planet?
I think it was the plan.
Okay.
I think the whole idea was because you got to remember this calendar. The reason that this was going to happen, quote unquote, was because the Mayan calendar had called for the end of the world in 2012.
Right, that's exactly true.
But I feel like what we forgot was that the Mayans were etching this calendar on like a rock wall. So eventually, they must have just run out of rock.
Well, I mean, you know? Yeah, because it's this big, like, circular mathematics thing, and the Mayans are all developing, you know, they're, like, inventing calculus before Isaac Newton did or something. There's this whole, like, big math problem,
right.
And eventually you get to the end of a math problem, and it stops, either because you've, A, found a solution, or B, you've run out of paper, or in their case, granite.
Right, or C, you just get tired of it. Like, if I'm a Mayan in, like, 12 AD, or whenever this is going on, and I'm sitting there making a calendar out 2,000 plus years. At some point, I'm just going to be like, okay, this is enough. I have had enough. I need a life change. You hit your sort of mid-Mayan crisis at some point.
Definitely.
Which you got to remember, the life expectancy for a Mayan was like, you know, 20 years.
You're right, because of all the human sacrifice.
Right. Eventually, you were going to get somebody angry at you, and he was going to sacrifice you to like Bilbert, the god of dirt or something.
So at some point you're like, you know, this whole human sacrifice, religious, horrible, cutting out of the heart, putting it on the altar, leaving the other man without his heart now. And, you know, it's like,
right.
Eventually we've just had enough. And so this whole time thing, we're just going to stop it.
Exactly. Why keep going when obviously at some point between now and 2000, whatever AD, the world is going to end. Someone's going to figure out how to end the world. So why am I
still carving
Barry
this
Mayan
calendar?
right, still sitting here carving this calendar when I could be out enjoying various Central American hobbies like catching diseases or swimming in piranha-infested rivers, you know?
Yeah, there was because plenty of other stuff.
From what I understand, those are the big hobbies of Central America, is catching diseases and being eaten by various wildlife. You got to figure it's like 50-50 odds. So anyway, plus, here's my other thing, is it's not like we look back at the Mayans as this civilization that had a ton of great ideas.
Yeah.
Like, really, the Mayans have not contributed a ton to modern anything.
Right. I mean,
their big thing was
invented the zero.
Gripping.
And
but who you? I mean, but and why do we need zeros? Why? I ask you. No, here's a question for you. This is a totally unrelated topic.
Okay.
You're going to learn very quick as we listen to this podcast that nothing is ever planned out. We have plans and then we ignore them at about the 6 minute mark, which is 20 seconds ago. I was driving behind a car the other day and it had this advertisement. It was like a Red Bull truck.
Okay.
And it had this advertisement. It was like Red Bull Light or something. It was like zero sugar, zero calories, zero exhaustion or something like
okay.
that. And this has always been my concern with diet drinks and drinks that had zero sugars or calories or something. Mm-hmm. What is in there?
Right. Because it's like, okay, if it doesn't have calories, that means that anything that's in there isn't really going to be absorbed by your body.
Right.
Isn't really going to necessarily be incorporated in order to, like, is it a drink made out of crack?
Exactly. Is it just really fizzy, watered cocaine?
Right.
Because, like, and it's the same thing for me with, like, diet drinks. Like, I just don't understand, like, at least with a regular drink,
mm-hmm.
I know what's in there and I know what's bad for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there are, like, 30 grams of sugar in a Pepsi. And it's like, okay, I know what that
right.
is. But, like, Diet Pepsi has, like, 15 grams of, like, sticks that we ground up in mud and 10 grams of drippings from a tree in Central America. It's like, I don't know what's in there. It's very spooky to
mm-hmm.
me. I'd rather have something bad that I knew what it was than something ambiguous that I had no clue.
Right. And, I mean, in all honesty, it's probably just going to be another type of bad, just not the
exactly.
type that makes you fat and or, you know, sleepy.
Exactly. It's not like they're sweetening it with, like, broccoli, you
right.
know? It's just there's
it's
no way that that's
we all
better
know it's
for
aspartame.
You. Exactly. Or asbestos, you
right.
know, they're just grinding it up from all the houses and dropping it in the Diet Cokes. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. Anyway, that was a completely random mm-hmm. side note that I decided to go on. What were we talking about? Oh, Mayans.
Right.
Right, Mayans. So it's not like there was a ton of things we grabbed from them.
Right.
That we thought, oh, this is a really great idea. We should incorporate this into modern society. But for some reason, we grabbed this calendar and we were like, this is it. This is the end of the world as predicted by a Mayan who went out later that day and murdered his cousin Phil and stole his heart and ate it for breakfast.
Yeah.
But we believe his calendar
because
he was a smart person.
You know, we'll draw the line at the religious aspects. But man, those calendars, we just can't get enough of them.
Exactly. I just think as humanity on the whole, we just like to panic. Like, we just like to have something to panic about.
Right. It's like it's an entire society's worth of high school drama.
Exactly. It's really because we finish high school and all of a sudden we can't – like we finish high school and we get married or we realize that we're doomed to be alone
right.
and lonely forever and ever and ever. So all of a sudden we can't freak out about the things we used to freak out about. So we have to freak out about more mature
right.
things like the economy mm-hmm. and the end of the world via giant guacamole-shaped comets. You know?
Exactly.
You just got to find something to freak out about.
Exactly.
Of course, one of my favorite things about this whole thing was you had all these people who were like, oh, the end of the world is coming. Let me buy canned foods and stick it in my basement.
Right.
It's the end of the world. Like, it seems to me if you really believe the end of the world is coming, why would you – because by very definition, you're not going to be around.
Exactly. So why are you making all these procedures and ideas and fallback plans and safety nets
right.
and –
Right.
I'm sorry, if it's going to be a safety net, I want it to be something more than Spam and Cheez-Its.
Right. Well, plus, it's not called the mostly end of the world, or the end of the world unless you're super prepared. it's the end of the world. The world will not be here anymore. So unless your contingency plan involves space travel, you're not going to be around. I'm right. Sorry. Does it not matter how many cans of Spam you have stuck in your trousers?
Yes, because you can't make an alternate dimension where the world doesn't end simply by stashing a large amount of, you know, vacuum-sealed pretzels.
No, yeah, I agree. That's just, you know, that's what's it's how it's going to be. There's mm-hmm. no, once again, there does not matter how much Campbell's you have.
Right.
Though I do feel like Spam and Campbell's really made, like, a big deal. Like, they made a ton of money off of this.
Oh, yeah. All your preserved foods people industry are going to make a crap ton of money off of any sort of disaster.
Exactly. So I keep waiting, because now that we're done with 2012, I keep waiting for, like, Spam to find, like, the new prophecies of Plato in, like, Spam's backyard. And it's like, and by the way, the world will end in 2014 by via all of the cheese in the world going postal. Thank you, and good night, Plato. P.S. Do not name children's toys after me. Thank you. Love, Plato. And that's going to be it. And right. then we'll have another panic.
Right, because then they'll be like, and so you now need to buy all of our stuff in order to survive the end of the world. Once again, forgetting that the end of the world means nobody survives.
Exactly. That's the most hilarious part for me. Mm-hmm. All of these people are like, the world is ending. I need 700 cans of Spam. It doesn't make sense. It does not. But yep. Anyway, so that's partly why we're here, is because the world did not end in 2012.
Right.
So I feel like we needed to start with that before we moved on to anything else.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about it, you know, I mean, you have this entire Mayan civilization, and if they were actually plotting the end of the world, you think they would have stuck around, but their entire societal system broke down and was destroyed, mostly by smallpox.
It's true. Well, I was going to say, it's not like they volunteered for that.
Right, right. And so you'd think if they are smart enough and have that edge to determine when the end of the world is, they would have also noticed, oh, by the way, the conquistadors are coming too.
Oh, this is true. You know? And men in shiny hats are coming.
Right, and they're going to completely obliterate our civilization and steal all our gold.
That's true. Right. That's true. I hadn't thought of that before.
Right, and if they didn't see that coming, why would we think that they saw the end of the world coming?
Exactly.
Anyway, sorry, that's a little side.
No, that's well done. That's well done there. I hadn't thought of that before. I had the foresight problem. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, there's that out of the way. I also, what else has happened lately? Oh, the Pope.
The Pope-ness. He abdicated.
He just quit. Like, I didn't know you could do that as a pope. I didn't know you could just walk in one day and just be like, you know, I'm just tired.
Right.
I'm tired of being the pope.
I thought it was a lifetime thing, you know?
Exactly. And it's not like when you – because generally speaking, when you get elected pope, you're old. Like, your life is pretty much already almost over.
All that you have capability to do is kind of, like, sit in the chair and be wise for a few decades.
Say wise sounding things.
Right.
But yeah, so he's just like, one day he's just like, no, I'm done. I don't feel like being the Pope anymore. I'm not going to be the Pope. That's not how he sounded at all, by the way. He's like German.
Oh, okay.
So
right.
You can do whatever you want with a German Pope, I guess.
But it's like, I mean, that's got to be kind of a kick in the head for a lot of people when they suddenly wake up and there's no Pope anymore.
Exactly, because it's like if we woke up one morning and the president was just like, I'm done, I've had enough.
I know.
Because he's like, he rules the Vatican, right? I mean, isn't he like also a political figure?
Yes, I think he's totally a political figure in terms of, and I mean, I'm sorry, the Catholic Church like knows no boundaries, you know? It's not like, Italy's upset now because the Pope left. No, the entire world is upset now.
So true. All of a sudden it was just like, oh, and the Pope quit, by the way, if you're wondering. He's had enough. My personal theory is that he just got tired of being followed around by people in weird pajamas.
That's possible.
Because I don't know if you've ever seen the Swiss Guard, if you're listening. I'm pretty sure Jack has. If you're listening, you should look up right now. Whatever you're doing, if you're driving in your car, it is well worth looking up the Swiss Guard.
Please pull over first, but yes, look it up.
Yes. Because they look hilarious and a little ridiculous, and I'm sure they're very deadly, but it's hard to take them seriously.
It is.
So if you're 80 years old and you're being followed around by people dressed up in funky pajamas, maybe that eventually is just like, nope, I've had enough. I refuse to be the Pope anymore unless they put on some decent clothing.
Yep.
So that's my theory.
That's fair. I think also it might come into play a little bit. I mean, you consider the Pope. He's in the Vatican. He's sure. You know, he's obviously at an extended period in his life where he's got a stable environment. You know, I mean, it's not like you're in a job and you're like, well, I might get a promotion. I might advance. I mean, you're the Pope. That's pretty much as far as you go.
That's like the top.
Right. And so at this point, this guy is probably looking down the last, well, I mean, he's probably got, you know, maybe 5 years left. And maybe. He might have things that he wants to do, but he can't because he's the Pope. He has no...
I guess, yeah.
Right, yeah. So maybe it's
maybe
just
he's
like...
always wanted to pursue like a professional basketball career.
Right.
And now he's
you
retired,
can't anymore because you're the Pope, right.
There you go.
Yeah, there's no room for advancement, so you're just going to have to switch careers.
It's true. There you go. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's like a post-life crisis.
Yes.
Like, you know, you've got a midlife crisis, then you've got an 80-year-old crisis, which doesn't get nearly as much publicity because usually you're retired at that point.
Right.
But when you're the Pope, it's tough when you hit that crisis point because, yeah, you're pretty much cemented in. Of course, it's not the big perk for me as far as Pope goes, like the reason to pursue being the Pope is the Pope-mobile.
Yes.
That's like, I don't know how you give that up.
I know.
How do you give up the Pope-mobile? As your maybe he like stole it. Maybe as part of his severance package.
Right.
It's also,
like,
I would lack the Pope mobile.
Yes.
That wasn't a German accent either, but I'm getting closer. But so yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you give up the Pope mobile. Plus, it's not, you know, I don't know all that goes into being the Pope, obviously. But it doesn't seem like a super stressful job to me. Like, obviously, you know, everything you say is sort of critiqued. But yeah. For the most part, you're just kind of hanging out and waving at people and blessing babies. And every once in a while, you have to make like an edict. Like
right.
A pope
or declare somebody a saint.
Exactly. Which doesn't happen a ton anymore. I don't know who the last person declared a saint was, but I don't remember it. I don't remember it being big news. I heard like I don't know what you call unexcommunicating someone, but he did that.
Recommunicating,
maybe. Yeah. Giving him a cell phone, being like, here you go, it's communication.
Now you can be part of a church again.
Yeah. I'm sorry, folks. All the jokes can't be good. That was bad. The cell phone, I don't know where that came from. But I'm sorry. That was bad. They'll get better. Don't worry.
Yes,
this is
will.
Just the first podcast. We'll get better. So, like, he recommunicated some people, which I guess was sort of like a thing.
Right. Oh, he
let them
back
into
the church.
Doesn't happen a lot. Right. So all of a sudden. But they did the same thing with what's her name? The French girl.
Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc. Yeah, because she was
I pulled that
originally,
one out of nowhere.
That was good. No, that was good. I was a history major, but Jack got Joan of Arc.
Well, at least we know that there was one girl in France at one point. Okay.
Exactly. So, because originally, like, they were like, oh, no, and they excommunicate her, and they lit her on fire,
right.
Which is pretty permanent. Like, that's not, like, you can't unlight someone on fire.
No, you can't.
From my understanding. Especially, you know, 100 years later. At that point, they're pretty much forever on fire. But they, like, excommunicated her and it's like, oh, no. She is French and seeing the future, and that we can't stand for that.
Nope.
But then many years later, they recommunicated her.
Mm-hmm. Because she was like, oh, well, they made some movies about her that made her look like a nice person, so we'd better let her back in.
It was like peer pressure. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, like, Mia Jovovich was in a movie, which was terrible, when she played Joan of Arc. It was a really bad movie. I don't recommend it at all. It was funny, though, because it was Mia Jovovich trying to be serious.
Yes.
Mia Jovovich is one of those actresses who gets by 100% on the fact that she's hot.
Pretty much.
Sort of, in my opinion, she's sort of the anti-Jennifer Lawrence.
That would make sense, because...
Because, see, here's my thing. I don't think Jennifer Lawrence is super attractive, and I know we're going to get 100 angry posts about this.
Right.
But she's not super attractive.
But
I'm not saying that it's a
bad thing. She is an incredible actress.
Right, because she's incredibly talented. If anything, I think it makes her more talented, the fact
Absolutely.
That she's not incredibly attractive.
Kind of like Meryl
in my
Streep.
Opinion. I was about to say that. I was literally. Because they even could have similar career arcs. Like, you can kind of. Because Meryl Streep has been nominated for, like, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Jennifer Lawrence is starting about 5 years earlier and is already, like, you know, she's just nominated for everything and she's really good in everything she's in.
Yeah.
But so Mia Jovovich is sort of the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. She's just really attractive and she can't act at all, but people, like, let her be around because she's really attractive. But anyway, that all came from Joan of Arc.
Right.
So they recommunicated her, and this Pope recommunicated, like, three different people, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, it's true. But yeah, so we got rid of him, or he got rid of himself.
I was going to say.
And then, which is nice. I imagine it's super awkward to try and fire a pope. And then we got a new guy who is Italian, which is always nice. I really think all popes from now on should be Italian.
You think so?
I think so. Because it's just, you know, it's just kind of, it feels right.
He's not Italian, dude.
He's not?
No, he's from Argentina.
Oh, he's Argentinian.
Yes, he's the first Jesuit pope. He's the first pope from the Americas, and he's the first pope from the Southern Hemisphere. This guy got a hat trick in pope.
Argentina.
Yeah.
Dude, I had no idea. Like, by birth?
Yep, I think so.
Man, dude, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well done for him. Way to be.
Absolutely.
Way to be Argentinian. I'm behind that, too. I feel like now Catholicism can really get behind some more samba dancing.
Yeah, that would work.
Which I'm a big fan of. I think that's, you know, I feel like that really should be integrated now into Catholicism.
Okay.
Well done for him. Argentinian, yep. Man. Mm-hmm. Good
absolutely.
Job. Jack, you're just a fountain of knowledge here, man.
Well, you know.
You got Joan of Arc and the new pope is Argentinian. Look at you go. See, this is why I have Jack on the podcast, guys, because I really have no idea what I'm talking about. I make up 90% of what I say.
And then if it sounds like it's factually erroneous, I correct him.
Exactly, exactly. That's why Jack is here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's the pope thing, which was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I had something else I was going to talk about. I almost went on a rabbit trail, but I had just gotten back from one.
So
I was saving it for later, and now I can't remember what it was. Stupid rabbits.
It's okay. There was the although speaking of the Americas, Canada and Mexico went at it in the baseball game. That was incredible. Did you see any of the YouTube footage on that?
I've watched it. Yeah, I've watched the YouTube fight. Alfredo Aceves, who actually plays for the Red Sox, which is my favorite team. He went completely insane, which is great.
Went absolutely spare.
Exactly. But it's just funny because, like, for those of you who don't know, the World Baseball Classic is like, it's like the Olympics of baseball. Like, you know, all the countries of the world get their best teams together and they play baseball.
Right. As opposed to the World Series, which is just
America. And because... Canada. Canada has a team which doesn't ever win the World Series. Canada and Mexico, like, went at it. Like, there was this huge brawl, which is funny because those two countries, like, I don't know, you just don't think of them as being at odds ever.
Could it possibly just be that the Canadian baseball team is having some hockey envy right now?
It's true. That's actually very likely.
Right. Because, I mean, they were the ones who started it, right?
What happened was they bunted when they were, like, way ahead. Like, they were ahead by, seven runs, and they laid down a bunt, which is one of the famous unwritten rules of baseball. Baseball has about a million unwritten rules, mm-hmm. which get violated every day. So because of Canada did that, Mexico threw a pitch at one of the Canadian players.
Right.
And it hit him, and that sparked a fight. So you could kind of say that Canada started it, but at the same time, Mexico did throw a pitch at a Canada player. So it's hard, you know, you can't really say necessarily who started. One of the best things about it is, like you were saying, like, you know, you've got Canada at which they play hockey, and then that's about it.
Yeah, very much.
Like, in the sports Canada cares about, there is hockey, and then maybe football, because they have, like, their own football league that no one pays attention to.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah, no, they have the CFL, the Canadian Football League. It's a thing.
All right.
It's where the people who aren't good enough to play in the NFL go.
Oh, okay.
And they get paid in beaver pelts. So that happens, and then there's baseball, which is, like, way below that, mm-hmm. on a whole separate track. Like, underneath being a Mountie is where being a professional baseball player ranks in Canada.
Awesome.
And then in Mexico, it's, like, the big sport. Like, Mexicans are very into baseball. Baseball and soccer. Probably soccer before baseball, I would say, actually.
But they've got a pretty heavy baseball following down there.
It's true. It's true.
Kind of like Cuba. So Cuba is, like, huge into baseball, too. And
Cuba,
like,
yep. The Dominican Republic is one of the biggest. They're actually in the finals, for those of you who care, which is no one. The Dominican Republic went on to be in the finals, yeah. Like, Latin America, very big into soccer and baseball. Those are, like, the two big sports, which have nothing in common, let it be known. So, yeah, big fight happens, and the Canadians, you think, obviously, they have the hockey thing, of which hockey is mostly about the fights. Like, there's some distracting things mm-hmm. going on with sticks and goals, but it's mostly about fighting.
It really is.
So the Canadians and the Mexicans are like, what can we do to make this more important? And they decided that as opposed to be just being really good baseball players, because that has not worked in the past, they would beat the crap out of each other. And it worked, because we're talking about it on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Which we would normally never talk about that.
This is great, because all of a sudden, people are starting to come to the realizations that the Irish discovered many, many years ago. Which is, if you want people to pay attention to you, punch them in the face.
It's true. It's true. It's a great foreign policy. Walk softly and carry a big stick with which you hit people. Should have been an addition onto that.
Absolutely.
Because carrying a big stick is like, you know, you can do it whatever you want. But if you're carrying a big stick and actively hitting people with it, they're going to pay attention to you.
Absolutely.
It makes sense. It only makes sense. Okay, I remembered my rabbit trail from before.
Oh, okay.
While this conversation was going on, and I held it in my brain. I held the rabbit.
Well
and
done.
Now I will let it go and follow it wherever it may lead me. And now I forgot it again because I did that great big intro. Hang on a second. What was it? Oh, yeah, I remember. Okay. I watched this hilarious video. For those of you who don't know, Tomb Raider just came out with a new video game.
Yes.
And
yes,
it was like a big throwback. Like, because Tomb Raider, for those of you who don't know, it's been around forever,
mm-hmm.
and the series has gotten super confusing. So they retconned it.
Yes.
Like, they deleted everything and were like, okay, we're going to do a new beginning, clean slate, which is a great idea. And somebody made
the Batman
movies. It's a good idea, really. So someone made like a live action movie out of this, and it was like Raider Origins or something like that. And it's like a 10-minute video, and it's horrendous. It is an active train wreck of a short
film.
It's so funny. My favorite part, and correct me if I'm wrong here, my favorite part is Tomb Raider, her primary weapon is a bow.
Yeah, in the new game, she's primary archery focused, yes.
Right. So she's got her bow in this movie, and she's using sharpened sticks as arrows.
So not even like arrows, just
exactly.
I found a stick and I put a point on it.
Right, just like sharp sticks, which, correct me if I'm wrong, would not work even a little bit.
They
right?
would not work even a little bit. No, you have
because
to have,
there's,
you
like,
have to
balance
have the fletching on,
and
you have to have the feathers exactly. on the arrow in order to make it travel straight. Yeah. Otherwise it just kind of goes flunk.
Right. So like her big thing in this is like she shoots like four guys and she pierces like this metal gas tank
with
these
stick.
Slightly sharpened sticks that she picked up off the ground. It's hysterical. It's so bad.
That's awesome.
It's great. I highly recommend it for those of you who have like 10 minutes to spare and just want to watch exactly why sometimes YouTube is a very bad thing. Go watch this because it's so it's so funny. It's so bad. It's
That's
great.
Excellent.
It was a warmth to my heart because as much as you know, we produce art and we think it's really good. It's nice to know that somewhere out there is someone worse at it than we are.
Yeah, because it's
and
very,
these
it's
those
very...
are the people who made Raider Origins.
Absolutely,
it's great. I was gonna say something else about the errors, but I've forgotten it now. Oh yeah, because like so it has to have like feathers and like the stick and the strap. Like it's
right.
got to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, Fletchers have been like conning us for years.
Absolutely.
Of which Fletcher, for those of you who don't know, is someone who makes errors.
Yes.
A Fletcher named Fletcher would be awesome, but I don't know if there are a lot of Fletchers around. It's not exactly a booming industry anymore.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's where the last name came from originally, you know.
Really?
But even so, it's like, yeah, you don't see a lot of people out there, you know, just sitting on the side of the road, making arrows.
It's true. I think we should go back to that. Of course, it's a big new video game thing, bows. There was, what was it? Crysis 3 just came out.
Yes.
And Crysis 3 is like a futuristic game. Like, it's set in like 2107.
Mm-hmm.
Because aliens are invading. And, like, in the last two games, the big new additions were, like, sniper rifles and bazookas and laser weaponry.
Right.
But for the third game, it was like they completely ran out of ideas. So they were
Let's
just
give
like,
them a compound
here's a bow. It's much better than those bullets you were using.
Right.
Because reasons that, you know, you can get it back. You can, like, go and pull it out
right.
of the guy's
Those
neck,
are the only
got another
two
bullet.
Reasons that video games have been able to justify using archery is because, one, you can get your ammo back sometimes.
Right.
And two, it's supposedly sneakier and quieter.
Right. And you can, like, and the big thing with bows, because of the Marvel movies, is, like, sticking stuff on it.
Right.
Like, you can have, like, explosive arrows and tracking arrows and arrows that make the person have a sudden great affinity for the TV series Barney. But, so yes, anyway, Raider Origins, go check it out. Hilariously,
Absolutely.
Hilariously bad. The acting in it is just wonderfully horrible. There's a great scene where she's sitting there next to someone she just killed who has an automatic weapon. And she just wanders off into the forest and leaves the gun sitting there to use her bow with, you know, sticks more. Oh, it's great. Anyway, we're about done for today. Thank you for listening. Thoughts We Might Have Had, the podcast, the first ever episode. Check out thoughtswemighthavehad.com. Check out Jack's blog. It's great. Thank you all for listening. Come back for more. We're going to be doing this twice a week from now until who knows when.
Until the world ends.
Exactly. Whenever that is.
Whenever
that
is.
Buy some spam and hang around for the end of the world with us.